Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. Now, in this particular proverb, we're going to study something that is absolutely contrary to the philosophy of today. Let's read the parable or the proverb, and you'll see why. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. All right. You can see right away in this proverb that trusting your own heart, as far as God is concerned, is a terrible maneuver, because the Bible says if you trust in your own heart, you're a fool. But if you listen to the world's philosophy today, they say, oh, follow your own heart when it comes to love, when it comes to a job, when it comes to school, when it comes to the choice of a mate. Follow your own heart, see, and be true to your own heart. Well, you better really be careful about that, because the Bible is so clear that trusting in your own heart is evidence that you're a fool. In other words, you need to walk wisely, and then you'll be delivered from your foolishness. Now, what's wrong with the heart? The natural heart of man. I have some notes here in my Bible. I don't remember where I got these. I don't know if they were from a preacher that preached, if I got them out of a book that I read. I don't remember. It just, but these are excellent comments here regarding that verse. The natural heart, the heart of man, your heart, humanizes God. That is, you try to bring God down to your own level. And therefore, when we talk to people who are lost about God, they have a tendency to assign to God the same thoughts and feelings that men would have. They don't understand. They cannot comprehend a God that could love so much that he would send his only begotten Son into this world to die on a cross for their sins, but at the same time, who, after demonstrating that same kind of love, that glorious love, could then throw somebody into hell for an eternity for rejecting that love. They don't understand. They can't comprehend, because their own heart does not go that way. Not only does the natural heart humanize God, it also deifies man. That is, it makes man out more like his own God. And that, of course, comes from what happened to Eve and Adam in the garden. The devil tempted them with a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he says, God doth know in the day that you eat thereof, you shall be as gods. And men like to be deified. They like to think of themselves as gods. Where this creates a major problem would be amongst Bible scholars, who are so ready to change the words of God to fit their own understanding and their own desires. Well, a man would have to think of himself in terms of being God to change the words of God to suit himself. But they'll do it. They pass judgment on the words of God and say, that's not a good translation. This is better. In the Greek it says this, but, you know, if you ever read an English dictionary, you'll find words that have multiple definitions. Greek is the same way. A guy goes there and he thinks this passage must certainly mean what I think it means, and so he goes until he finds a definition of the word that suits his understanding of the verse. That's not being led by the Holy Spirit. That's a man who thinks he's powerful enough, smart enough, and wise enough to pass judgment on the words of God to actually determine what's better than what he's reading. The heart of man rationalizes sin. In other words, you know that the sin that you commit is wrong, and yet you rationalize it in your own heart that what you've done is not that bad, and that God really doesn't mind. He understands. The heart of man negates the Bible. The Bible says to do something a certain way, and the heart says, no, I'm going to go this way. The heart of man ignores judgment. The heart of man justifies itself. The heart of man smiles at the devil. The heart of man rejects anything negative to its own opinions, to its own ideas, to its own beliefs, to its own feelings, to its own plans. You see, the heart of man has a very, very difficult problem because the heart of man is always going to protect or attempt to protect the man inside of whom it resides. It's going to make him look better than he really is. It's going to make everybody outside of him look worse than they really are. It's going to form its own opinions about things and then seek to prove those opinions are true. But the Bible tells you most definitely that the natural man receiveth not the things that be of God, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the heart of man will look at the things of God and say, well, these words are foolish. Who would believe that? I gave a friend of mine a Bible one time, and I told him, I said, you ought to read that. And it was a very nice Bible. It's one that, you know, you'd like to have. Just the cover was nice, and the printing was very nice, and the notes in it were great. It was an old Scofield Bible. And I said, well, this is the one to have right here. He read the first 10 chapters. And then he called me, and he said, you don't really believe that stuff, do you? Well, that's nonsense. That doesn't make any sense at all. You know what that is? That's the natural man who cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness unto him. And he can't know them because they are spiritually discerned. So if a man determines or a woman determines that he or she is going to follow his own heart or trust his own heart, he's a fool because he's not going to have any spiritual enlightenment whatsoever. And he's going to promote himself, and he's going to put down everybody else that's around him. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. The Bible's right. Now, what's the condition of your heart? According to the Bible in Jeremiah chapter 17, what is the condition of your heart? Well, let's go over there and look. Jeremiah chapter 17, and let's look at verse 9. What does the Bible say about your heart? Now, remember, I showed you these early things about what your heart will do because you're getting ready to hear something that your heart is going to reject. You're not going to like what you hear. And I don't tell you that so that you'll go find another radio broadcast to listen to. And I tell you that simply because what you're listening to right now is the truth. And you need an honest reflection in your heart from the truth to know the condition of your heart, to show you why you cannot trust it and why you must be wise and trust something else. What's wrong with your heart? Jeremiah chapter 17, look at verse 9. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Did you just pay attention to what you saw there? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? My goodness. Would a man not be a fool to try to trust something like that? You see, when you think of your own heart, and you think of its desires and its ambitions and its loves and its thoughts, you cannot possibly admit to yourself or to anybody that's close to you that your own heart is deceitful above all things. But it is. It will deceive you. Where a man gets horribly deceived in his own heart is when he's lost and he knows that he needs to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior, and his heart deceives him into believing that he's okay. A heart like that will lead him straight to hell. The heart needs to be tender toward the things of God. The heart needs to get to a place where it can say, I believe what God said. I need to be saved. I need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. But he's going to come under great conviction and great spiritual influence of the Holy Spirit of God to come to that conclusion, because on his own, his heart will deceive him. The heart is deceitful above all things. Talk to a woman who's now breaking up out of a bad marriage and ask her, is it possible that your heart could deceive you? And she'll tell you with bitterness and tears in her eyes, absolutely, I was deceived into believing that that man that I married was the love of my life. I was deceived into believing that when I told him I would stay with him forever and that he would stay with me forever, that I meant it and that he meant it. But I was deceived. You ask a woman who has now just left an adulterous relationship outside of her own marriage and ask her, is the heart deceitful? And she'll say, absolutely. I had no idea that my heart could lead me into rejecting the love that I have for my children and my husband, into a love that would cause me to lie with another man. I can't believe I've allowed myself to do that. You know why she did? The heart is deceitful above all things. You can't trust that heart. And not only is it deceitful, but it's desperately wicked. It thrives on wickedness. See, how do you know that? Well, I know that I pick on these things from time to time, but they are what contribute to your wicked imagination. Movies. If Hollywood could get away with more nudity, more cursing, more violence in the movies and still sell them, they would. Why? Because your heart feeds on and thrives on desperate wickedness. Now, if your particular heart doesn't, it's because something has changed inside of you. You're a new creature. God has done something inside of you to cause you to repulse that kind of thing. But I'm going to tell you something. If you can sit down on a Friday night with your kids or with your spouse and you can watch something like that that Hollywood puts out in order to get some relaxation, and it doesn't cause you to shudder when you hear those kinds of words or to get upset when you see that kind of thing on the movie, then you know what's wrong? Your heart. Your heart has deceived you. It's desperately wicked. It's feeding on these things, and you don't see anything wrong with it. Desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. All right. What else is wrong with your heart besides being deceitful and desperately wicked? Look in Genesis chapter 8 at verse 21. Genesis chapter 8 and look at verse 21. This is after the flood now. This is after God destroyed all those wicked people and started everything over again with Noah and his three boys and their three wives. And look what the Bible says in Genesis 8:21. The Lord smelled a sweet savor. This is when Noah made a sacrifice to God in the next verse or the verse 20. The Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Watch it. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. What's the matter with the man's heart? Well, the imagination of his heart is evil from his youth. That's what's wrong with him. The imagination of his heart is evil from his youth. It's hard for you to imagine that, isn't it? But go back, if you can remember this far, to when you were a little child. And if you don't remember these things, your parents can remind you. Before you could spell the word rebellion, or before you could spell the word rebel, you were beginning to rebel against your parents. Why? Here's the person that clothes you. Here's the person that bathes you. Here's the person that puts a roof over your head to keep you comfortable at night. Here's the person that washes your clothes. Here's the person that feeds you. Here's the person that gets you off to school. Here's the person that pays all of your bills. Here's the person that takes you to the doctor. Here's the person that loves you. Here's the person that brought you into this world. And what is your return? rebellion. You know what's wrong with you? Your heart is evil. Why would you turn away from somebody that does those things for you and decide that you're not going to do what they want you to do and that you're not going to enjoy their company, but you're going to go off and do what you want to do? That's an evil heart. And that's the condition of your heart as a natural person. And you're going to trust that heart? A heart that is evil? In other words, given the chance to do something that's good and given the chance to do something that's evil, you'll do good to satisfy your conscience and you'll do evil to satisfy your lust. And it all comes out of your heart. Look what's in there. You want to see evil? Turn to Mark chapter 7 and look what's in your heart. And don't say, well, that's in so-and-so's heart. I know a fellow like that, or that's in so-and-so's heart. I know a woman like that. That's in your heart. It's in everybody's heart that is a natural man or a natural woman. If you're here after the likeness of Adam and Eve, you have an evil heart. It may be in check, but you have an evil heart. You have a wicked heart. You have a deceitful heart. These are the things that are in your heart. Whether they are manifesting themselves at this point or not. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now that's what's down in there. That's what's planted in your heart. In other words, you may never have committed adultery with another woman. And thank God for you if you hadn't. But you've wanted to. You've thought about it. And your eyes have even satisfied the desires of your heart to look with that in your imagination. Now, you'll tell me or you'll tell somebody else that you're sitting next to when you're listening to that, oh, I've never done that. Well, then you are deceitful. And fornications. And murderers. You said, well, I've never murdered anybody. I wouldn't be riding around listening to you on the radio right now if I'd done that. True, but in 1 John, the Bible says if you hated somebody, you're a murderer. He said the same thing in Matthew chapter 5. And don't tell me you've never hated somebody. Because that's what's lodged down in your heart. And frankly, if the laws did not prohibit murder, if you knew you could kill them and not get caught, see, if nobody would ever know you did it, you'd do it. You don't think you would, but that's what's down in your heart. You'd do it. And all these other things, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy. You ever curse God? Pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. They're down in your heart. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed these things. They're down in your heart. And you're going to trust that heart? I mean, can't you see how terrible it would be for you to try to trust that heart in any decision that you were trying to make? I have a friend of mine that emailed me the other day, had a very important decision to make concerning him and his family. And he says, the one fellow he took counsel from said, follow your heart. And then he emailed me and said, why would I want to do that? My heart is deceitful. My heart is wicked. What should I do? Well, thank God that when he heard, follow your heart, from the first person from whom he received counsel, he knew better than to follow that advice and follow that counsel. Well, we turned him to the Lord, and he'll be fine. Listen, you're in Mark chapter 7, right? That's the last place we checked for a cross-reference. Look in Mark chapter 7, verse 6. You see, the Pharisees were deceitful. They were blasphemous. They had an evil eye. They were murderers. They killed Jesus Christ. They were adulterers. They had evil thoughts. They were proud. They were foolish. And the Lord said to those Pharisees, he said, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. See, it's easy to say, oh, I love God. It's easy to sing songs about loving God. And it's possible to honor God with your lips and yet have your heart be very far from him. A little while ago, my wife and I were talking about a mutual friend of ours who's a missionary on the mission field. And I said to her, I've spoken with him recently. And he's very depressed. And she goes, well, aren't things going well for him? And I said, yeah, they really are. But he's got his mind on some of the little things that are really troubling him right now. She goes, well, that's sad. His personal relationship with Jesus Christ must not be very good right now. Boy, wasn't that wise. You know what happened? Honoring with the lips, but the heart has gone cold, gone far from the Lord. So why would you want to trust a heart like that? A person that way gets depressed, they could have thoughts about quitting. Gets depressed, they could have thoughts about doing something stupid in the ministry. You don't want to trust a heart like that. You want to keep that heart very, very close to the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what the Pharisees didn't do, in order that you can get your counsel and direction from the Holy Spirit of God and from the words of God and from Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. You understand why now, don't you? But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So what is the wise thing to do then with a heart that wicked? Well, the wise thing to do is to trust in the Lord. That's the wise thing to do. You said, well, I knew you were going to say that. Well, then if you knew I was going to say that, why haven't you done it? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. If you went to vacation Bible school as a child, you memorized these scriptures. You should have followed them. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways... Now, how many ways did he say? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, if God's going to direct your path, if you acknowledge him in all your ways, and if you don't lean to your own understanding, but rather trust in the Lord with all thine heart, then you know what? You're not going to lean to the desire to follow your own heart or to trust your own heart. Because you're not going to trust it at all. You're going to trust the Lord with all your heart and not lean to your own understanding. How many times have mothers become so frustrated with their children that they really, absolutely came to their wits' end and said, I just don't know what to do? Well, your heart has deceived you because on the one hand you love them immensely, but on the other hand you know that what they're doing is very, very wrong and they need correction. And your mother's love will override your sense of their need for correction, and you'll give in to their sin. You'll give in to their wickedness rather than trust the Lord. You've got to trust him. And sometimes trusting the Lord in a situation like that means you got to let him go. The prodigal son's father let him go and gave him the money to go with. And it was a long time later, we don't know how long, but he'd gone through all the wealth, when the young man finally ended up in a pigsty and decided to come home to his father and live right. You know, that father never chased him. It's no doubt that the father was concerned for him because he met him while he was out in that field. It's almost as if he'd go out there every evening just to see if his son was coming home. And you know, it broke his heart. But he didn't lean to his own understanding. He trusted in the Lord. He'd have to for the Lord to take care of that boy. If you'll do that in all your ways, acknowledge God, he shall direct thy paths. In Psalm 37, we read some excellent, excellent passages of Scripture here regarding trusting in the Lord and not trusting in your heart. Psalm 37, look at verse 3. The Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. The second thing it says is, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. In other words, what he wants you to do is he wants you to spend all of your time trusting him and delighting yourself in him. Listen, when you're stressed out about major decisions and you're trying to figure out what your heart is telling you to do, the last thing that you're doing with your heart is delighting in the Lord. You know, my friend that called the other day that I told you about, that's what he wasn't delighting in the Lord. He should be elated right now, but he's not. He's down. Verse 5 in Psalm 37 goes on to say, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You see, then you're not the one that has to do it. When he's ready, it will be right, and he'll get the thing done. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And then verse 7, the first part says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now, if you're prone to getting into disaster after disaster by following your own heart, which compels you to stress out over things that you don't need to stress out over, and to get into sin that you shouldn't be getting involved in, and to fall in love with people that you shouldn't be falling in love with, and to get into deals that you oughtn't to be getting involved in, then you know what you need to do? You just need to set that old heart down on its shelf and say, you know what? I am tired, sick and tired of following you. From now on, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to acknowledge him in all my ways, and I'm going to let him bring this thing to pass. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to delight myself in him. I'm going to commit my way to him. I'm going to rest in him, and I'm going to wait patiently for him and quit following what I want to do. Now, if you'll do that, your heart will get tender toward the Lord. And then your lips will be speaking what your heart feels toward God. And let me let you know something. If the heart is deceitful, but God knows the heart, God looks on the heart, man looks on the outward appearance. If he sees that he is the preeminent priority in your life, and that your delight and your trust and your rest and your patience is in him, believe me, and believe the Bible, he will take care of it. And you won't end up making, yet again, one more foolish, stupid mistake. He that trusteth in his own heart is what? A fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And you walk wisely when you trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. God help you when you do, because it's your only hope.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number 3, bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.